In Isaiah 24, I think we have here prophecies about what could have happened, maybe at the time of Hezekiah and also at the time of the restoration of Judah from Babylon or from Persia. But it didn't happen. And in verse 16, we read, "From the uttermost part of the earth," or the land promised to Abraham, I suggest the Eretz, "from the uttermost part of the land," that is right throughout the Babylonian and Persian empires, "have we heard songs of glory to the righteous. But I said, I pine away, woe is me, the treacherous have dealt treacherously, the treacherous have dealt very treacherously." There is there what you could call a juxtaposition. That is, that you have one statement, and then it's immediately followed by a letdown, by a very opposite. "From the uttermost parts of the earth, there were songs of glory to the righteous." I think that the righteous are, in Isaiah's context, the righteous remnant, the righteous servant, etc., which is supposed to be Israel or Judah. But then there's the big letdown. "But I said, I pine away, woe is me, the treacherous have dealt so treacherously." And this juxtaposition, this dramatic change, is intended to, of course, signal something to us. And I think what it was that Isaiah saw these visions of the possibility of Israel's restoration in glory at that time, the establishment or re-establishment of God's kingdom in the form of his people Israel, with some messianic ruler and the Gentiles amongst whom they had been in exile, repenting and joining with them to come and worship the God of Israel. He sees all that, but then he sees it's not going to happen. Well, I say it's not going to happen. It didn't happen as it could have happened, but all God's words come true in their essence, and those prophecies are reinterpreted and reapplied to the restoration of God's true people, as is now happening in the Lord Jesus, and the final day of God's kingdom upon the earth, when finally all these things will happen. So he pines away. He's so upset when he sees that the potential isn't going to happen because the treacherous have dealt treacherously. Yes, the treacherous have dealt very treacherously. Well, who are the treacherous? This is the same word used in Jeremiah 3, verse 8, for how Judah were like the wife of God, and they had been treacherous. They had betrayed him. They'd gone off to idols. They had had affairs, as it were. And so he's distraught, really, at the tragedy of it all. Now, you can be selfish in a spiritual sense. In other words, you can just focus on my salvation. What's most important for me is that I shall be saved. And yes, if other people turn away, well, so they do. But I am going to be saved, and so that's their problem. That is an immature view, because we are not focusing then upon the glory of God. We don't have a heart that bleeds for wasted potential. Whereas Isaiah did, he didn't shrug and think, oh yeah, well that's not going to happen because Israel, my people, are just treacherous to God. They're the bad wife, he's given them all this love, he's poured his love upon them, and they're just flirting around with other lovers, just as you have in Hosea, where Hosea represents God, and he marries a prostitute, Gomer, who represents Judah. And she is there getting pregnant by other men and saying, oh honey, you know, here's your baby and it's not his. You are not my people, my children, Hosea says. And he gets very angry with her, the anger that is based in the extent of his love for her, etc. And so I think the point is that when we see spiritual failure, when you see people turning away from faith, when you see people refusing the gospel, this should, you know, be us saying, oh, look, I pine away, woe is me. We should be devastated at this, the tragedy of it. It should never be lost upon us. Because If it is, then I think we're out of step with God, because for God, his existence in one sense is tragic because of all this wasted potential. I mean, why do we mourn more the death of a child or the death of a young person compared to the death of a very old person? It's because we think of the lost potential. She could have grown up and got married and had children. He could have gone a long way in his work in this life, and he could have got married and had children, etc., etc. And it didn't happen. It was cut short, and that wasted potential is tragic. But this is how God feels. And yet, I'm not trying to be self-congratulatory to us, but we have at least said yes to him. We are at least trying, despite our weakness, to be his faithful woman. We're not being treacherous. We're not with him one minute and then off with the idols of the world the next minute, I hope. And so, therefore, he must be so thrilled that we are at least responsive, that we are with him, despite our weakness, but that we are with him. But, as I say, the whole theme of wasted potential is so major that we should not fail to see the tragedy of how things are in this world, with people wasting all this potential that is offered to them. You know, we may distribute 1,000 tracts, 2,000 tracts, stand on the street and offer people New Testaments. You know, boxes of them can go in a few hours. And yet, who responds? Oh, I'm too busy. Ah, no, I'm more interested in my career, in my girlfriend, my boyfriend, or whatever it might be. Nah, maybe sometime. And to turn away the love of God like that, as he says, I pine away, woe is me. And yet, you know, the foundation of God stands sure, as Paul says, the Lord knows them that are his.